station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner.
Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner.
You waited in line for hours among hundreds of other contestants just for a shot to appear on national television wearing a cape around your shoulders and with a song in your heart.
Kelly Clarkson never wore a cape.
Then, Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner, you get your big chance in front of the judges and proceed to croon out a bizarre love ballad for Paula that you wrote yourself.
Quick, someone call security.
Come on, did you really think you'd woo her?
Even Paula's not that drunk yet.
So the next time you're watching Idol and see a chubby guy with an extra chromosome, a skinny kid with crazy eyes, or any man wearing a costume, don't touch the remote. But get ready for Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner, a real American hero.
Mr. Creepy American Idol Auditioner.
Well, at least your grandma thinks you're talented.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, it's September 30th. And Kara's in the studio surprising me yet once again, getting here 30 seconds before the show starts.
I just want you to know that you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, everybody. That's how much I think about you in the audience.
Uh-huh.
To show up.
And you seem extremely tired as well.
I almost broke my nose last night, people. Let's just get down to it.
Really?
I almost broke my freaking nose, and I don't have insurance. So if I broke my nose, I'd probably have to bite a stick and set it myself.
Yeah.
And then just pray to God that it forms in a normal human nose shape.
Wow. So tell us, how did that happen?
Well, it all started off karaoke.
Uh-huh.
We went to.
It can be dangerous for your health, huh?
What, karaoke?
Doing karaoke.
Well, the way I do it. So I don't just sing a song, okay? I give a show, right?
Uh-huh.
So the song, you know, Wham, Careless Whisper.
Mm-hmm.
The intro.
One of my favorites.
Oh, my gosh. I tore it.
Yeah.
Sam, you'd have been so proud.
Really?
I tore this song up. So
that's a guy's song.
I don't care. I'd tow it up. So uh-huh. I got up there and I went and, you know, the intro is like. Anyway, I'm sitting at the bar. I've got my back to the audience and I'm sitting down at the bar and I'm acting like I'm drinking.
Uh-huh.
And then I throw the drink and I'm mad and I throw some napkins and they go everywhere. Like I'm some drunk that's like at the end of my thing. And then I feel so insecure. And I just hammed it up. Will you take my head?
Mm-hmm.
And I got into it. So, and I'm jamming this song. You know the part where then the bridge hits, it goes, tonight, mm-hmm. Tonight the music sings so loud.
Really high, right?
Yeah, and getting into it. So I do this thing where you lean the mic stand back,
mm-hmm.
like it's falling, and then you.
Right.
I've never done this. This is my first time. I thought, hey, shit, I'm in the zone. Everybody was dying. They were laughing. And I lean the mic stand back, and I have on these heavy high heels, right? And then you put your foot down to bring it back towards you. Well, I did it like a freaking cartoon, and I was like, I mean, I went, but I was like, oh, let's just try this. Boom. Whoosh, and I fell down. And everybody thought
forward?
It. Yeah, the thing
really?
Freaking smacked me right betwixt the running lights.
God.
Hit me right betwixt my running lights. It was like a cartoon, and I've never practiced this move, so I just stepped on it. It was like, bam.
Wow.
Boom, I fell down. And everybody was laughing, and I looked up, and it was right before the sun. Tonight the music
right.
sings aloud. So they just thought I was being dramatic.
They thought it was part of the
they
act?
They thought that's
really?
How good it was.
Yeah.
And they were laughing hysterically. And then people were like, oh, she's so into it. So they came up and they wanted to sing the bridge of the song. I looked up and I'm like, guys, my nose is broke. Like, my nose was running and stuff. I'm like, I think I just broke my nose. And nobody believed me. They thought
wow.
it was part of the act and they got into it. And I was like, but it ended up not being broke. I just have like a bump that's about to pop up, but that's going to be cool to go back down.
Yeah. But, it's okay. But, you can't really see it. So.
Yeah. But yeah. No, I'm just telling you. So, you know, watch out when you karaoke people.
We will. It is. Can be detrimental to your health.
I mean, it was a good show. I'm not going to lie. It was the best. It probably was the best the whole night.
Really?
But I'm just trying to tell you, you got to watch out. You know, practice those
moves. So what were you doing at a karaoke show anyway?
At a karaoke show? You mean karaoke place?
Yeah, whatever.
You know, at a karaoke, right? I wasn't there to do my taxes. So, you know, just get my sing on.
Uh-huh.
Get my performance on.
Good, good. But didn't you say that people don't consider people at karaoke as serious singers?
No. I mean, karaoke is an activity. I wouldn't use it to qualify someone as a bad or good singer. People make the comment that, you know, oh, they're just a karaoke singer, meaning like it's just a term to say that person's not really a great singer. Or they're, you know. Right. But I mean, I never go there and like, you know, I always sound good, but I never go there to like show off my voice because it's more for fun.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people don't get it though, and they go up there and they can't sing worth a shit.
Yeah,
you know?
But you're missing the point, Sam. You got to have some fun.
Yeah, I can have fun, but if I have to sit in the audience, I want something that sounds good.
No,
you know?
You're going to the wrong place. Go to a freaking show. Go to have fun. Let your hair hang down. Do something you wouldn't normally do. Like you should get up and sing Madonna.
But some people don't have any business getting up on stage and singing.
You're missing the point. The fact that they don't have the business is why they should go karaoke, because it's funny.
Uh-huh.
It's entertainment. You know
and
what?
Let them sing in the shower.
No, but you know what?
I don't want to have to listen to
them. Well, you know, first of all, you're not even going, but if you're going, you should get up and do something that you sound shitty and just do it for fun and make fun of it and stuff.
I could never
It's
do
called
that.
Entertainment. It's called fun. Get into it.
Well, I'm a serious competitor. I would I would do the best. I would sing the best I possibly could.
Really?
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Oh, my gosh. You got to lighten up, man.
Yeah, I do.
Even went into
it. I do.
Anyway.
Anyway, we've got two lovely guests in the studio, and we're going to bring them in right now. Good morning to you, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we have Harper, and you're originally from where?
I'm actually originally from Michigan.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you mentioned something about just arriving in town, so I figured you must be from somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've lived pretty much like all over, but I just moved here from Seattle. I was in Hawaii all summer, but...
Wow. So you've been all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to live in Europe, too, for a little bit.
Really?
So,
mm-hmm. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So originally from Michigan, though, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And then you moved to Hawaii, or did you travel?
No. I went to school there all through high school, and I lived in Milan for 2 years when I was 16 to 17 to 18 for modeling, and then I went to the University of Alabama and I played tennis.
Wow.
And then I moved to Dallas for 6 months.
So
and then I moved
you've been
to
all
Seattle.
Over the place.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have family that moves around a lot? Is that what
No,
it is?
My family still lives in Michigan.
Really?
I just, you know, like I get bored if I stay someplace for really too long, and I'm kind of like a little gypsy.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
What was your favorite place to live?
You know, I mean, obviously, I really like Hawaii. I always go back there. But I actually really liked Seattle. I mean, the weather sucks.
Yeah.
But
it's a great town, huh?
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's an amazing place. It's absolutely gorgeous when the sun actually comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And for those, like, maybe 2 months in the summer that it hits above 70 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous, you know.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool. Well, you tell us in a little bit why you would move from a beautiful place like that to L.A., you know. But we also have Mary Catherine in the studio. Good morning
Hello.
To you.
Hello, good morning.
It's going to take me a little while to get used to the long name, but I have to respect the fact that you have to use two names.
It's
you know?
A Southern thing, Catholic. My whole family, we have the boys have the two names, the girls, and... Mary is a family name, so I have a Aunt Mary Lee, I have a cousin Mary Grace, Mary Isabella. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, so you say Mary and everybody in the whole room just turns, you know.
Yeah, try to stay a little closer to the mic. Okay. So where did you move here from?
I moved from Louisiana, South
Louisiana. Wow.
Morgan City.
And how long ago was that?
I moved in April.
Oh, really?
So it's
so been
very
about,
new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very new, about six months or so.
Yes.
And Harper, when did you move here?
Well, I didn't technically move. I just kind of came over from Hawaii and just stayed. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Probably like 3-4 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're really new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Wait till you learn about LA. You haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I've been here, you know, like on and off modeling my whole life. So,
really?
I mean, I kind of know how LA works. I know, you know, enough people that I can go out every night if I wanted to and have a good time, you know.
Yeah.
But
that's cool.
Yeah.
So, Mary Catherine, what made you move from Louisiana to here? I mean, how do you just get up one day and say, I need to move to L.A., or how does it work?
Well, you know, I figured if I'm riding home, you know, the L.A., the address wouldn't have to change that much. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. My sister was living here for about 2 years and doing the whole acting bit, of course. And I just, you know, I was at home. I was a reporter back home in Morgan City, very small town. I was born and raised there, and my whole family stayed there. Mm-hmm. And I just figured, you know, need something different.
Yeah,
you know, I just
got to
change.
Go.
And if I stay there, I'll get stuck, get married, and have
Sounds
five
like
kids.
Sounds like your story, Kira, huh?
It's the same story of people in the South. If you're from the South,
well,
you've got to get the hell out before somebody ties you down.
It's true.
With 10 kids, your dreams are dead.
It's so true. And I always said, oh, I'm 25 now. When I was younger, I said, oh, I'll be married when I'm 25, have like 4 or 5 kids by the time I'm 30, 31, and I'm like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, those are the dreams in the small town.
Yeah,
huh?
the big dreams in the small town with the two roads, you know, and the one movie theater and the one Mexican restaurant, you know.
Wow.
That's all you do.
I don't know how people can live like that. You know, I guess when you grow up,
it's
you freaking get used
Twilight.
To it.
Yeah. There's something beautiful about it, but it's also kind of like Twilight, you know.
Yeah.
You're like, this is it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I saw a lot of people at my high school reunion. I just got back from high school reunion, and really, I mean, how do I say this? Okay, so if you're listening, I don't mean it bad, but what I'm saying is, it's just kind of like I saw a lot of people going like, yeah, I'm going to school more. I'm going back to get my master's again. I got 2 kids. I don't know why I'm doing all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying people are like ecstatically happy here. There's a lot of soulless, depraved humans here that are not happy. So I say that, you know, but there's a lot of people that just kind of, they don't really know who they are, what they really want to do, and they're just kind of going with the motions, and you know, they're not really
right. Well, I mean, being from the South, you can, I mean, for instance, all the guys back home, all you talk about is LSU football and fishing, you know, or hunting, you know.
Really?
And it's like when I come out here, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can actually have a conversation with someone that is not about football, which is great. I love sports, but it's okay, like something different, you know. And back home,
freaking
that's it.
Loathe football. I loathe it.
Really? And you're from Texas?
Girl,
that's weird.
It is so bad. I hate it.
Yeah, but she likes guys who like sports, or guys who like to watch sports.
I like guys that play sports too.
Oh, play sports.
Yeah.
Okay. They have good bodies. Mm-hmm. That's just, you know,
that's just a masculine thing, you know.
It's true, but they're always the worst ones.
Are they?
Yeah.
Control and perfectionists, you know.
Really?
You know, they have to be driven because they put so much hard work into what they do to be a professional at it, you know?
Yeah.
Did you ever date a football player?
Yeah, well, really? I actually played football. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I played, have you heard of the Laundry Football League?
I've heard of that,
yeah. So I played in that for the Seattle team for 2 years.
Really?
And
that runs, like, simultaneously with the Super Bowl or something, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the season, it goes all year round, and actually MTV2 just picked it up for,
really?
A reality show. But, yeah, when I was in college, I dated the kicker of Alabama's team, so
really?
that was kind of a neat experience, but at the same time, it's like, you know, they don't really have time for you. And you know, I played tennis in college. I didn't really have time for him, you know.
Yeah.
So, just a guy,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, just a guy.
That's funny, yeah.
Yeah, but they all have that mentality now, the athletes, you know, because they just, oh, I can do this and that, and I can get this girl and that girl. So it's just that whole player mentality.
Yeah.
So they're just all the same. You know, I've had pretty much probably, I want to say 90% of the guys I've ever been involved with have been an athlete, which has never ended well. Obviously, when I'm still single. So, you know.
Hey, that's, you're single by choice.
Yeah, there you
come
go.
On,
exactly.
You gotta look at it that way.
Yeah, you've got plenty of time still, you know.
Single's a good thing. They think it's like a disease out there.
Like, oh,
I know a few,
embrace it.
I know a few girls that are like smoking hot that are still single in my high school class. And it's kind of like, they're like, yeah, I'm still single. And then there's just like a weird, I'm like, I'm trying to cuss me now, but I'm like, I want to go like freaking like good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Good. High five yourself. Like, good.
Keep your options open, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, shop around.
You know, it's not like you're 80 and you're like eating mashed potatoes with no teeth by yourself. I mean, you are hot, single, ready. Like, go have fun and just, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird vibe. It's like, you know, they think, it's like anytime you hold something up in such a high regard, like, this is going to be it, this is going to make me happy, I think you're setting yourself up for failure, whether that's your career or relationship or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, those things alone cannot make you fully fulfilled. And so out in the South, a lot of it's family, you know, having a whatever person and a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of people are really disappointed when they get to the other side of it. Just like out here, people go, oh, if I just get this, I just get that, and I get my career. And then they're just kind of like, shit, I'm still addicted to cocaine. This didn't work out very well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, hot chicks have to move to L.A. They've got nothing to do in a small town, you know? Yeah.
They can dominate. They can be the hottest one in that small town.
That's true, but who
cares? Not for long, because then they have those kids.
Yeah.
And their body in the shapes.
They have them kids, and that girl Peggy Sue that just come up from 18 years old, now 21, she the hottest thing out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
She's going to save all the clothes when she was skinny, and then, you know, she's going to always wish she could get back into these clothes, you know? And it just doesn't happen that way, you
know? She'll keep trying them on, and then they just won't fit, and she'll think, one more week, one more month.
I'll be posting pictures, you know, going to Vegas with my friends on Facebook, and all my other friends back home are... their baby pictures, you know, of their kids now, and, you know, the weddings, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
like,
no.
Oh my sorority.
No. Maybe 10 more years.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, I think kids are great. I don't think it's bad if, like, people want to do the family thing. I think it's great. I want to do it one day, but it's the idea that that's going to just be it, you know?
The scary.
That's the sad part, you know?
Yeah.
I had to clarify that if people are listening. I got a little shit back home.
So Harper, tell us a little bit about playing football. I mean, what's that about? Is that like a league around the
Well, I mean, that's so it started like 6-7 years ago, and they just had it's basically supposed to be models playing football in their lingerie, so it's more or less sex appeal. I mean, it's 2010 now. You got to have something that's a little edgy to kind of keep people's attention.
Right.
But it's full tackle, full contact, 7-on-7 lingerie football.
How do y'all have any pads? I mean,
so I mean, you have like little.
You guys are skinny little bitches, so you can't handle a tackle.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
you know, though, like if you
actually
watch
like,
it,
I guess if it's like 100 pound against 100 pound, you'd be fine.
Well, I mean, so I'm like 125 and I'm 5'9 and I'm probably one of the smallest girls as far as like weight to height kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the girls are fitness models, or you know, they played a sport in college. Soccer players, rugby players. Which are the worst because they're not afraid to damage and tackle. So I played safety and corner, and I figured, you know, in the first game, I broke 3 ribs.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, well, we only have like little tiny, I'll have to show you a picture. We only have like little tiny right here, and then it's like a hockey helmet, and then elbow pads and knee pads, and then, you know, your turf shoes.
You're like, did
you're
you see
turf.
The rugby girl? She just busted me.
Oh, no, like literally she did a dive tackle, and you could hear my ribs cracking on the way down. Yeah,
I wouldn't even tackle you. I'd feel so guilty later.
Yeah.
I would not.
Though? I talk a lot of smack. I'm like probably one of the biggest voices, but without.
But that's fun. That's like a chihuahua, though. It's a chihuahua.
Yeah, pretty much. And I have like all my little pit bulls behind me on my team that will totally be like, Harp, we got your back, you know?
Yeah.
Say it and run.
Yeah. I mean, I pull out like all the bad, like, you know, O.J. Simpson ones and stuff that people are like, what? She just said that, you know? But I mean,
oh my gosh.
It's funny.
So you broke your ribs?
Yeah, I broke 3 ribs. And so then I was like,
is it worth it? I'd be I would sue the lingerie team or something.
You can, because you sign. I mean, the way they have it, you basically have to like sign your life away. And if you don't, then there's like 50 girls waiting in line to take that spot.
Yeah.
And they'll do it for cheaper. You know, like, but I mean, after that time, I was like, F this, put me on defense. I want to know when I'm getting hit, you know, like especially if I'm barely wearing any clothes.
Right.
I want to know who's coming at me and when I'm going
to hit. How long did it take for you to recover?
Broken ribs. Basically, I had to sleep sitting up for about a month, and I kind of had to take off running for a little bit. But it was like 2 months to completely heal, but it's really hard to completely heal when that was our first game. And our season goes from the end of August till Super Bowl time. So, and I mean, you only have 4 games, so it's not like you're playing every single week like a real NFL team. But, I mean, we have Western and Eastern conferences, and you're practicing at least 3-4 times a week. So, you know, how do you nurse it back when, like,
I thought that you'd be just out, right? Did they make you practice with broken ribs? Can you?
Yeah, I mean, I could do, like, little drills and stuff. But, I mean, for at least 2 weeks, I had to sit out, which was the hardest for me because I'm really competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you never want someone to tell you.
I'd be like,
you
a-holes put me in a freaking thong and miracle bra, and I got sacked with nothing, it's fucking butt cheeks flying and elbows,
turf
and
burns hurt.
That is so. That is barbaric.
That's everything.
But that is the point. That's what guys want to watch.
They don't want to see ribs getting. They're not. They don't really want ribs broken.
They don't see it. They don't know. Yeah. I mean, like maybe a girl will get taken off and they'll see their butt kind of hanging out while they're getting taken off, and the guys are like, oh, well, she's hurt, but she's got a nice behind,
yeah, who
you
cares?
Know?
And then they're like, they don't
there's
care that there's
50 other girls that might be in her spot next week if she doesn't come back.
Internal bleeding, and they don't care.
Yeah.
We can't see it.
Yeah.
The guys are so shallow.
They're so awful. It's
as long as they're not bleeding on the outside, smearing all the makeup and stuff.
As long as you look good doing it. Yeah.
So how many people would come out to see this event? I mean...
Well, Seattle actually... So last year was the first year for the actual 10 teams nationally in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And we had probably, besides Chicago, we have one of the biggest fan bases. And I think we had like 4,500 at one of our games. Our stadium can hold 6,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously, I'm not playing for Seattle this year. I might play for LA next year. I don't know.
Oh, so. I see. So you're still part of the league and everything?
You know, I'm not, I was more like I did a lot of the face work. So I would do the radio interviews and the, you know, on TV interviews and stuff like that.
Them and stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, I was always on like the merchandise, which was kind of cool. But so I mean, the league still uses my image, and so I mean, I'm on really good terms with them. So I mean, yeah. If I wanted to play for LA, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I could show. Cool. I mean, it's just a matter of I model, so
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do you really want to have huge, you know, arm length bruises and turf burns all the time?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
So, Mary Catherine, would you do this?
I'm like, woo, no. Yeah. No, see, I played, you know, football on the streets growing up with all my cousins, but we just, you know, touched.
Yeah, that's
no
as
tackle.
Far as you're gonna go,
yes,
yeah.
That's as far. And beating up my little brothers, but that's about it. Yeah, not anymore.
Yeah. So how many siblings do you have?
I have an older sister and three brothers.
Oh, wow.
So there's five of us. She is turning 27 in December, day after Christmas, and I'm 25, so the youngest is 18. But they're all older than me now, you know, but it was an experience growing up with three
really?
Brothers.
Yeah,
yes.
I can imagine.
And it still is. It still
really?
Is, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole going to the bathroom thing, you know,
uh-huh.
Every morning I had to line them up. And when we were younger, of course, when they got older and they could actually beat me up if they wanted to, I decided, okay, I can't really fuss at y'all too much anymore. But I would line them up on the side of the bathroom wall and I said, you know, you've got to lift the seat up when you go to the bathroom.
Because
uh-huh. Every time I go in there and sit down, yeah, you know, just nah. Web. Or, you know, if I get really lucky, they leave the seat up and I just forget and it's the middle of the night and the light's off and I just go in
and you
get plop right in the toilet. Right. I've done that about two or three times. So
really? You get like their DNA on your butt cheeks.
Yeah, just, you know, just we're very close family like that, you know. So I told them, I said, you do it again. I'm taking your clothes out of the dirty hamper, which is right next to the toilet, and I'm wiping your pee off the toilet seat with your shirt. And they didn't believe me, you know. So one day, my brother ran into me. He said, Mary Catherine, lead it and lift the seat. And there's pee all over the toilet. I said, all right. So I went in there, took all his clothes, and just wiped off the toilet. And he was like, oh, my gosh, you're serious. So
yeah.
They learned
yeah.
For a week. Yeah. For a week, you know.
Yeah. That's funny. Did you have to do a lot of babysitting and stuff?
Yes. And that's basically what I still do right now. I babysit a lot. It's just so second nature. When mm-hmm. I was in the first grade and my youngest brother was born. So I want to say in the second grade, I was the one who got him ready in the morning, changed his diaper, like got him all.
Yeah.
So I was pretty much a mom when I was like 9. You know?
Yeah. So really? You're constantly.
Wow. Yeah. So it's like in my blood, you know, and my whole family, there's just so many of us. It was just, all right, just second nature. Just
yeah.
My whole family, they're all teachers. So everybody's very, you know.
Yeah.
Just, I can't get away from it, you know?
Yeah, I find that everybody, when I went back to school, was a teacher.
Yeah.
Like, you guys all had a burning passion to be teachers, everybody. I mean, I think being a teacher is a great, great, great job, but...
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, well, being from a small town, it's kind of like, that was my thing. Well, there's nothing much here for me, except if I wanted to teach, then, hey, I can do that, of course, but didn't want to. But, you know, my mom, my dad, my grandparents, my aunts, my cousins, I mean, mm-hmm. everybody in my high school, the principal was my cousin. Four of the teachers were related to me. One was my mom. So, of course, you can't get away with anything because I was never a bad kid, you know. But
did you say you did journalism out there?
Yes.
So what was that like? What did you journalize on?
Well, I went to Nicholls State University in Thibodaux, Louisiana, which is about 30, 40 minutes from New Orleans. So it's pretty much, it's a, you know, small, like, near the bayou town. It's very, you know, it's very, very small. And we did the journalism out there, and it wasn't much. It wasn't the biggest mass communications department at our college. LSU, of course, is, you know, the big college in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And just, I don't know, it was a lot of athletics events I did,
mm-hmm.
or probably made up half the stuff we wrote on, right, you know, because there's nothing much going on. Probably,
that's funny.
You know, and then, well, of course, when Katrina hit, we had a lot more, you know, to work with.
Yeah.
Which, you know, of course, wasn't
so
great.
So what were some of the stuff you, like, made up?
Well, let me think. Oh, my goodness. Who could I get in trouble right here? No. We had, there was this one kid in our class. He was, he's kind of different. He's a little goofball, just not all the way there. And he was kind of our main person. We kind of made up. It wasn't skits, but we kind of did. And we acted like it was news. And everybody knew it really wasn't. But we made up videos, and we just kind of had him as, like, our guinea pig. And we just made stories revolve around him.
And he was cool with it.
I don't know if he really knew
that
it was going on. I know. Like, he loved it. He loved being, you know, having the attention on him and stuff, because he's that kind of person. He just wants people to really like him. And no one was ever mean to him. He just really wants attention. And so it was kind of like, okay, you know, you're going to be a little weird with us. We're going to have a little fun with you, but it was all in good fun. You know, no one was ever mean. So that was, it was very interesting. Very
That's
interesting,
funny.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
That's funny.
The story's about small town.
They wrote about the slow kid in school.
He didn't know
it was happening, so it's okay. Nobody knew.
It's terrible.
Hey, I'm just playing, but that is really funny, though. It's really sweet the way you put it. You're like, it's all good fun.
Yeah, we didn't do anything. You know, if I realized the guys were kind of crossing the line, and it's like, okay, come on, y'all. You know, we need to be a little nicer here. Of course, when I'd leave the room, they'd probably do something worse that I didn't know about. So
controlled bullying.
Yeah, just made sure it wasn't too bad.
Oh, right. I hear you, though. Well, what else are you going to do, right?
Yeah, right. If there's not much else going on.
So what kind of dreams did you have coming to L.A. and everything? Are you, like, into acting? Is this?
Oh, no.
No?
No, no acting. But I guess, you know, my sister, she had to, you know, tell me one day, well, you know, Mary Catherine, if you're reporting and doing all that, it kind of is like acting, because you have to make the story sound exciting. I said, you're right. Okay, you can bring me down with you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's the one who just kind of took off, and she was like the black sheep of the family. Not black sheep, but...
Oh, no, she is. That's how it works.
Yeah, they love her, but
they always have an intervention every time I come home. There's an intervention waiting for me.
When are you going to grow up?
Yeah.
Yeah, are you going to get a real job? You know, stuff with this acting stuff.
They're like, you know, I got this, like, my aunt was like, you know, well, you have been out there a long time. And I'm thinking, you're so tired of what I've been doing. You've been out here hustling and shoveling shit jobs. You're just so tired and done with it. I need to give you a break now. Just sit back and drink your tea.
That's hilarious.
You know?
It's so true.
I'm sorry. I'm stressing you out by not having a job and, like, being a loser. I'm sorry. That's stressing you out. I'm a little stressed right now, you know? It's so freaking funny.
Well, because you know what it was? When my sister was out here by herself, she'd call us all the time, like every day. And I'm like, oh, gosh, Elizabeth's calling us again. You know, one of her emotional breakdown.
When you first get here, you're like, you want to commit suicide. So, yeah.
She found some random person to live with off of Craigslist. And it was an older woman, and it was fine. It worked out well. But one day she called us when no one was answering because of the time zone. And, there was a murder on her street or something. I'm laughing. It's terrible. But, you know, so she had to go sit in, like, the local Denny's or something the whole night because she couldn't get down her street. They wouldn't let her. So she's just calling everybody and leaving me voicemails. And I wake up in the morning and I hear, oh, Mary Catherine, wake up, please. There was a murder on my street and I'm bored. Sitting in Denny's and, oh, my God, you know. And that's your way of trying to get me out of here, because she just begged me forever. You come out here. I said, you know. So when I finally got out here, she moved home 2 months later.
No way.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah. You know, every day I wake up and I still think, yeah, okay, Elizabeth, thanks, buddy. No, I got here and our lease we had to re-sign in July. No. Yes, it was July. So I moved here in April. So she said, okay, we'll figure out in July if we're going to re-sign or go home, move to New Orleans, you know. I said, all right. Well, I didn't think she thought I would actually really like it here, you know. So we moved home. Well, we went home in May for my brother's high school graduation. Well, she just stayed. She never came back. So we got there. The next day we got there, she said, Mary Catherine, by the way, I'm going to stay. I said, you mean, like, for another week? She said, no, I'm going to move home, you know. I said, okay, you know, whatever. I was pretty mad. But, you know, we figured in July.
I'm sorry, did you sign the lease at this point?
Yes. Well, no, not at that point.
Oh.
But I actually had two other roommates. They stayed with me there because I was sharing a room with my sister. We actually were sharing a bed.
No, I've done that. That ain't nothing.
Kara's familiar with that.
But it was so hard. But, you know, the funny thing was we actually got along so much better doing that. I think because my mom wasn't there to break us up if we were fighting, you know, we had to actually deal with it on our own and be adults. But she moved home, so, but it's okay. She's loving her job now, and she's happy. I'm happy.
She's a teacher?
No, she did do teaching for about a year.
Okay.
She didn't know what to do, so she just went straight to teaching when she graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did something with offshore work for a while, and then she moved here, and then now she's working with BP.
Okay.
So she kind of flipped to the dark side with BP.
Yeah.
Which is doing like paperwork and stuff, but she loves it. So
how's your you've been out here how long?
Since April.
Okay, so how has it been? I mean, you came here, you had her as kind of like a comfort.
Yeah.
And she left, so how does it feel now?
Well, actually better. I think I feel so much more relieved. The funny thing was, the one thing that really made me nervous about moving here was the driving. Because back home, I mean, we have like one busy street in our town,
yeah.
You know, and that's it. It's like, oh, Victor II Boulevard, and that's all I have to drive on. And so when I moved here, it was just, oh my God, everybody's crazy, but she made me so nervous. So now the GPS became my best friend, you know, and if I wouldn't have that thing, it'd be crazy. But I love it. I really do.
Really?
It's
that's
just,
cool, yeah.
It really is. It's different.
Yeah, and you're still new and everything. Yeah, but, I mean,
right.
There's great things about LA,
yeah.
For sure, you know.
There's always something to do.
Yeah,
I mean, every day is like a
Friday. It's going to take you a while to get sick of everything, so enjoy yourself in the meantime.
Yeah, well, I laugh because every day I find a new restaurant. I usually just go back to Subway, but, you know, I'm like, okay, well, there's that there if I want that one day, you know, and... Something new all the time.
Fun. And where's your date? Well, you're doing babysitting out here?
Yes. It's pretty much just the babysitting. I was writing for the Clippers for a couple of months.
Cool.
And then that just ended because the HR department said they couldn't keep me because I had to be in college to get internship credit. And they had no money in the budget to pay me, that kind of thing. So I was doing the Clippers. And then I was writing for Nike, field reporter. I was a correspondent for them for about a year. And then... That's about it. Just trying to, you know, keep
that's
doing
cool.
that whole
yeah.
thing, the writing. I love doing that. So.
Yeah, but keep yourself out there, you
right.
know, because there's a lot of competition and everything in this town.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but so. I mean, it's good, though, and the babysitting has paying the bills, and, you know.
Yeah, are you doing, like, nanny work, or is it, like, you're with a nanny agency?
No, well, I have. There's two families I met. One family I met through my sister. She met the husband on the set of one of her shows she was working on, and they just needed someone to babysit, so I started doing that with them, and that's about... I'm a regular family, probably 3-4 days a week, and I love them. They're great. So if it'd be a bad family, it's like, oh, gosh, you know, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
But it's good. And there's one other family, another little girl I babysit for 2 other days a week, so it's perfect, about 1 to 6 every day and then 3 to 6. So it's great hours. And
that's
you know,
really good.
Yeah, so I can still do that and still look at other things and keep my options open and still stay in my field. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so
that's
it's great.
Cool. That's
yeah,
really,
that's
really cool.
cool. Yeah. So, Harper, so you went to school in Hawaii, right?
No, Alabama. Roll Tide.
Oh, Alabama. So what were you doing in Hawaii? Just living there?
Yeah. I mean, I, my family, like, I had a condo there, like, when I was growing up. But mm-hmm. I actually was there for a skincare line photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed me to stay for, like, more than a month.
Wow.
Just because it was, like, the skincare line was kicking off. It's, like, Mondavi Skincare or whatever. But they were going bankrupt and... So basically, a CEO was buying it out, and so they said, we need you there for a really long time, and, like, I did some extra work for, like, Hawaii 5-0, and, you know, like, just some random stuff that was like, oh, I'm in Hawaii, why not, you know?
Yeah, might as well, right?
And then basically, you know, I just kind of was like, all right, well, I'm kind of over the skincare line thing, and it was a little bit more promotional than more or less, like, photo shoots and then doing, like, the actual spokes modeling thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was coming to visit my girlfriend that I used to play football with in LA, and then an old friend that I used to model with back in Milan that I hadn't seen since, you know, I was like 18 years old. And I got here and I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to stay.
Yeah, just
so,
going to stay, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I've been kind of building up my wardrobe right now because everything that I had to begin with was all bathing suits and like little wraps and sarongs and stuff. So, but yeah,
you
I mean,
kind of wear it in LA, but
yeah.
not. At least
yeah,
you
I mean,
more.
You gotta go to the beach, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I totally avoid the calls from mom when she's like, "What are you doing? What are you know?" I'm like, "I don't. I'm doing what I want to do right now. I don't know. I'm just kind of hanging out. I mean, I model, so
yeah,
I can always make money doing that. And you know, I mm-hmm. have enough connections with like agencies and stuff out here, but."
So you're like a free spirit. You like just to move around, not to report to anyone, not to tie yourself down. Yeah,
yeah, can't tie me down. Go. That song was made for me. No. That's why I'm single. I'm proud of it.
That's fun.
Yeah, like you said, keep your options open. When was the last time you had a meaningful relationship?
Meaningful. Well, that's a big word right there.
Yeah.
No.
Like,
I dated a guy on and off for 7 years. So,
really?
Yeah, I mean, it was, probably like four or five years, like completely on. But, I guess that's, he's like my best friend, my first love kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That ended like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's always good when it ends and he moves to Alaska to do, like, the deadliest catch fishing stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, well, normally if you kind of, like, are on and off, you continue going on and off. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be flying to Alaska anytime soon. That's just not for me. So it kind of just kind of helped with that. And
that's like a big freaking, you're like, this is a deal breaker.
Yeah, I know. It is a deal breaker.
You go
Sorry.
Catch fish in Alaska, we're done. I'm already hanging on by a thread, and Alaska is just going
to... A lot of things you can do, but move to Alaska.
And if you just have bathing suits, then
I know,
definitely
right?
Not.
I was like, I'm not an Eskimo. I mean, that's really ignorant, but no, sorry.
So is he still up there?
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't want Sarah Palin as my governor.
So he's still up there doing like fishing?
Yeah, they do like, it's kind of crazy because he goes out on the boat. He's not on the deadliest catch, but he goes out on the boat right before it. And so he'll go out for like, maybe a month, 30 days. And it's like during those 30 days, they might get two to four hours of sleep. Like they're always awake. Mm-hmm. And, but they come back and they make like, 10, 15, 20 grand. And so for that month, and then they'll take a month off and, do whatever they want, and like get back on the fishing boat again. And, so it's kind of crazy. And I mean, it's really cold up there. I mean, I think I still talk to him a little bit 'cause he's like one of my best friends, but, he said it was like 29 there probably 3 days ago when it was like 113 here.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, sucks for you. That's why I'm still in LA and not in Alaska, So
they just hang out for 30 days and not sleep?
Yeah, basically. They do, all the ship stuff because they're out and they don't even have, they'll stop at a couple ports, but it's like they don't even have their phones really. They can't even, when they go out, they go out. They're out of touch with the...
What kind of food are they bringing back? I mean, what is $10,000, $20,000?
Crab. Like the king crab stuff.
Oh, that's
really, really expensive. Yeah. So I guess. And it's like, okay, I'm going to move to Alaska and then you're going to go away on a fishing boat for 30 days. What the heck am I going to do? Right?
Is that where everybody gets their king crab from? Is Alaskan? Alaska? And the crab's out. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted right now.
No, you're fine.
The crab is in the middle, far out in the ocean. I thought crabs were like hanging out towards like,
I think they are, but I think because here I sound like I'm, a crab expert. I do not have crabs. I do not know anything about. No, they're just the really, really big ones. So they have to be kind of deep in the water, and they have like the huge, huge nets, kind of like.
Wow.
I don't know. And they troll them and stuff, and. I mean, I've never actually watched Deadliest Catch, ironically enough, but I think that's how it works. I don't know. So, and I don't think they're just in Alaska, but I think they're really
good
ones.
How many dudes die from this?
It's supposed to be literally one of the deadliest because storms can come in and out, and because they're working on so little sleep that apparently they just, you mess up, and if you mess up on a boat like that, something could break, something could swing.
I'm just saying, crab is good, but it's not that good.
Yeah.
Like, it's good. I'd take it right now. Yeah.
Well, they don't do it to go and eat it.
But my point is you got to kind of look at it and go, this is just crab people.
Yeah,
and freaking, Jaws is out there, fucking icebergs, polar bears.
Yeah,
big,
Titanic.
The freaking, this building of a wave is about to kill me with ice cubes in it.
Yeah.
I know.
That's just like a bad way to die.
Yeah. I'm sure they have to like crab because, who's going to want to go on a crab boat for 30 days and not even eat, seafood?
I mean, and
something?
That's decent money. That's really good money. But, I don't know if it's like
is it worth
money, type money. I think that should be higher.
Yeah. Yeah. Like ice road truckers or something.
Yeah, they get paid for the risk mainly. Mm-hmm. So
what do ice road truckers do?
Have you never seen that show? I haven't either, but I hear about it all the time. I guess
I'm
excited. Well, it's like truckers that are in Alaska, I guess. Here I am, like Alaska expert, actually, and
More than we do, obviously.
I mean, I have gone up there 3 times, but it's like they're just regular truckers, and they go on the the icy roads, and it's really, really dangerous because they can slip and slide. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, can you imagine driving your car? I mean, I'm from Michigan, so you drive your car and you hit black ice and you can spin, you know, real easily.
Yeah.
Imagine driving a huge semi truck and hitting a little patch of ice. Mm. How would you even control that? I can't even back one of those things up, you know? That's got to be, and they drive 16, 17, 18 hours a day.
This is one of the deadliest jobs.
I think ice road truckers is too. Yeah. I think working in Alaska, period, is just...
It's called, you're not supposed to live there.
You know?
It's for penguins.
That's for the natives, you know?
It's penguins and that's
there.
It. Let polar the penguins bears. Just do their thing.
Polar bears and some people love it, you know?
And seals.
They'll swear by it, you know? Some people really, really like it.
It's gorgeous up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was camping in Denali National Park, and, you know, we saw moose and bear and... I mean, that's not really super exciting when you're like, oh my God, there's a huge black bear right there. Wait, which ones are the really deadly, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was up there for the 4th of July for 2 years in a row, and it was over 90 degrees. And Seattle wasn't even.
Really?
Yeah, Seattle was like maybe 75. Really? And Alaska was, you know, I was hiking in my bathing suit, you know? Everyone was making fun of me because we're in Denali National Park, which there's no cars allowed, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like literally hiking and you're, you know, outdoorsy kind of stuff that I don't really do. Yeah. And I'm in my bathing suit, you know, just trekking it. And of course I get hurt, you know, because I'm not wearing any kind of gear. But
that's the way it should go.
Got a good tan, yeah.
There you go. That's funny. Wow.
I know. But talking about weather, did you notice yesterday it was, what, like 100 degrees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did it start raining where you were?
It was a little rainy, but it didn't really pour down. But did you see how pretty the sky was?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, and there was a rainbow as well.
There was a rainbow.
Which was amazing. Yeah. And it's all on the same day, you know, which is amazing.
Everybody in our street came out to look at it. It was hot pink. Like the sky was hot pink. I missed the rainbow part, but I saw the hot pink part.
Yeah. What weird weather, huh?
It was really cool, though. It was sweet. Yeah. It was real sweet.
No, it is. But, I mean, you know, you don't expect that kind of weather here, you know?
Well, right. When it started raining, I walked outside, and I was getting in my car, and I said, what's falling on me? And I looked up, you know, like the rain's coming out of the sky, because I haven't dealt with rain since I've been here.
Right. And, I mean, this stuff happens in tropical places, not here.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just so humid, I guess, that the air couldn't hold it anymore.
So and I think it rained a little bit in West Hollywood, right?
But it barely rained, you know. I mean, 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Right, yeah.
But it smelled like rain and stuff, which was nice, you know.
Yeah.
So go figure, you know. So how long do you think you're going to stay in L.A.? I mean, moving around a lot and everything. You give yourself, what, 4 months?
No. No, I mean, I stayed in Seattle for 2.5 years. You know, normally at least 2 years in every place, but... I mean, I've been meaning to come to LA for a really long time, and I have, you know, enough girlfriends out here that I just love it. You know, like, I'm not, like, you know, a party girl, but, you know, I love to go out, and I love the fact that there's always options, you know?
Yeah.
And that you can eat at every, you know, a different restaurant every single day,
and
you're, you know, you could probably never hit the same restaurant for how many years, you know?
Yeah, that's true,
Yeah, I love it out here. I like being by the water. I'm totally, like, a little surfer chick, so, yeah.
What part of town do you live in?
Like right on the cusp of Hollywood and West Hollywood. So it's, I mean, I literally can walk 20 minutes and I'm right downtown on the Sunset Strip, or you go the other way and 20 minutes I'm at Sunset and Vine. So it's like,
perfect. Yeah. It's all happening down there. You know? You definitely don't want to live in the valley here. There's nothing going on, right?
That's where I live.
Yeah.
What part of the valley do you live?
I live actually right off of Lancashire in Toluca Lake,
right
down the road from Universal Studios. It's good. I mean, you know, I have the gyms right down there, the grocery stores, everything's, you know, in that area. So it's perfect, you know.
Yeah.
If I don't want to leave, I wouldn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right, it's kind of close enough for
everything. Do you feel that it's kind of a sleepy area? You know, I mean, not a lot happening close to the city.
Well, I mean, and compared to everything else, I guess, around here, for me, no, it's not sleepy at all, you know. I'm like, gosh, the traffic, you know, trying to get out of my street sometimes. I have to get hit right at the right time to actually make a left turn, or I'm just screwed, you know, for 30 minutes.
Wow.
But compared to everything else, yes, I think it is a little sleepier. But I like that, though, because you have the neighborhoods, but say I can come down this road and there's just so much more, you know, going on.
Right.
To me, it's still like, oh, everything, you know. I still laugh when I see Beverly Hills or Hollywood, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm in Los Angeles. I forgot, you know. So weird.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's L.A. for you, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got like a whole lot of different things to it. And And Kara enjoys it, right? You love it.
I do. I really do love it. I love it.
Yeah,
no, I do.
I'm
ecstatic. I've been here for a while, and I do love it. I think that I see a different sides to it, you know, that I think it's just going to take time. But it is. I think most people that lived here a while find it kind of like a love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
Right. But it's great. I mean, I don't really know where else I'd love to live. I mean, I live right near the Hollywood sign, too. It's funny. So we have a lot of tourism over there, and I take a lot of people's pictures. I'm going to start charging.
You should.
Yeah.
That could be a good extra job.
You know? You just take occasion. You know, people in from out of town, they want to see the sign, and you just take their picture. hiking over there.
And people are going to pay you for that?
Well, my newest venture, my roommate's trying to, she's like, because we're always coming up with ways to make money. She's like, no, Kara, no, we're going to do this. I'm like, what? She's like, we're going to Hollywood Boulevard. She's like, she was a centaur last year for Halloween, you know, half horse, half human. Her costume's pretty badass. I'm still jealous that she really took it to that level.
Yeah.
It's just, that's I'm hilarious. Still actually pissed at her for, like, you know, going that far with it and didn't give me enough time to really, you know, get my arsenal ready. So she's thinking about going to Hollywood Boulevard and just walking in her centaur costume and taking photos with people. And she's like, Kara, just be snooky. Like, just
put, oh my God.
She's snooky. Like, just be snooky and people will pay you a lot of money. So I'm like,
oh,
I'm just going to try
you
this weekend.
You should do it.
I almost broke my nose karaoke and I'm like, what else can happen? I'm going to go be snooky on Hollywood Boulevard to see if I can make some cash. And I've got a long black wig. I'll just put like dirt makeup all over myself. I'm like, Potty's here.
How come I never heard of it?
Because you don't watch TV.
Jersey Shore,
really?
Okay. It's like, it's a train wreck.
She gets paid a lot of money to get wasted and to sleep with people and swear a lot and just be tiny little and cute.
Really?
Right, and I'm making fun of it, but I watch it all the time.
I think she's like really kind of cute underneath the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like she's just, I feel like she's like a little girl.
Huge Guida, you know, the big New Jersey or wherever that's from, thing. I don't know how her hair gets up that high, but
yeah.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
So do they have like the stereotypes of the show? I mean, like New Jersey people, like Sopranos type of a thing?
Kind of. They call themselves the Guidos and Guidettes, which has made other people upset that are Italian. But
I think they embarrass everybody else, you know, back home. They don't want everybody to think, oh, we're not all like this from Jersey, you know. But a lot of them are from New York, though. I only think one of them is actually from Jersey. Because that was a big thing when they were in the Jersey Shore. Because right now they're filming in, well, they were filming in Miami. So this show right now is them in Miami. Mm. But last season, so sad that I know all this. But oh my gosh, it's just so embarrassing. But last season they were doing this in the Jersey Shore. And I think there was only one that was actually from Jersey. And I could really be making that up too. But anyway, they just really offended a lot of Italian Americans because they're calling all the guys, they're saying they're Guidos, the girls are Guida.
What does that mean anyway? Like, why is that a derogatory word? I didn't even know about it till I
mean, I'm Italian, and a lot of my family actually lives in Italy, and I'm like, what? You know, have you even heard that? And like, they had no idea really, but they pride themselves. The guys pride themselves for going like tanning, doing their laundry, and going to the gym. Like, those are the three things.
GTL, gym, tan, laundry.
They have to do every day. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, normally, you know, Italians, you know, they have the natural olive skin. I'm a little pale right now, you know, but I mean, I wouldn't go tanning bed every single day. And who has to do their laundry that much, you know? Yeah. I don't know.
It's all about looking fresh for the ladies because they go out. So it's not like, oh, I'm just really on top of it. I'm anal. It's more like it's all about preparing for the night's kill.
Yeah, but European men also are more concerned with the way they look, don't you think?
Yeah, they're more Euro chic, you know? They have a more stylish without, like, the gay edge, you know?
Right.
A pretty boy.
Right, exactly.
Questionable out there. You know?
But these aren't, like, Europeans. These are Americans that have a Italian heritage. These are dudes that...
Oh, I thought she was talking about the people in Italy.
Well, they're Italian-American, so I'm saying, like, my family in Italy, my family in Italy, they're not like that at all.
They don't GTL. They don't gym-tan laundry every day.
I mean, basically, they're, like, really hot-bodied guys, the butter faces, you know? Their face, you could kind of put a paper bag over it, and you could be okay, but, like...
Yeah, that's kind of a good way to
put it. They look really good until... You look at their face.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sorry if Jersey's your.
It's true.
No, it's kind of a little bit like their face is a little rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them. But that's the funny thing. Sunscreen. They think they're so hot. All of them just think. And that's the funny part, you know, that everybody's laughing at them. But, you know, they're the ones laughing all the way to the bank because they're getting about $30,000 an episode now. And next season,
ridiculous.
It's a lot more. The situation, the one of the guys, he's the one who has like the 8-pack, so he calls it the situation. Mm-hmm. So he's on Dancing with the Stars now, uh-huh. and he's making like $1 million in endorsements from, I think, like energy drinks and all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And everybody, the little Snooki girl, she's about 5 foot. She gets paid about $20,000, $10,000 to show up on the red carpet and wow. show up in clubs, and she just stands there, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. But yeah. And they're getting paid a lot, but you know they're never gonna actually have. If they're doing it to be an actor, they're not actually going to have a real acting career. You know, like
right.
they'll always
I don't think any of them were
like,
ever going to be a joke, though. I think yeah. that
I feel like a lot of people that do like The Real World and stuff, or you know those other shows that are kind of similar, that they're doing it because they want to get into the acting or you know do something.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would do a reality show. And I mean, my private life is my private life, so
yeah,
I mean
yeah.
not necessarily, but you know. But
yeah, no, I know. I just think it depends. Like some reality can translate into kind of.
Good.
You know, very it's yeah. I think some stuff can kind of get people's foot in the door. I don't know, but
mm-hmm.
more of celebrityness.
Yeah,
you know, not so
right.
much
yeah,
like
just
a
more
legitimate
well-known.
acting career,
mm-hmm.
right? So,
yeah.
mm-hmm. but I mean, think about it. I mean, not that I'm advocating the lifestyle, but they all kind of have their little lucky break. They're on this show to party.
Yeah.
Now they get you know guest appearance fees and you know all these
yeah.
different fees, and now they're. You know, they've got their 15 minutes of fame. Who knows how long it's going to last? And some of them are really multiplying it and doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, workout videos, energy drinks. Some of them are, you know, doing like hair extension lines. And they're
take advantage of
yeah,
your 15
Yeah, they are because,
minutes,
I mean,
you know,
yeah. Jersey Shore is not going to be fun forever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hopefully they invest their money and they put it in some stocks or something.
It's like, you know, you're making fun of them, saying you in general, you know, but secretly you're thinking, oh. God, I wish that could have been me. You know,
yeah.
I wish I could have done that and, you know, making all this money now just from partying. You know, they just right. drink and get paid for it.
And you're actually, like, helping them get paid by watching the show.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you're
yes.
making fun of them, you know.
It's true.
So it's kind of like a catch-22.
Yeah. Well, okay, our time is up. So, Harper, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
You.
You're
thank
a lot
you.
Of fun. And Mary Catherine,
yes.
thank you so much.
Thank y'all. Thank
and
you.
Do you guys have websites? Do you want people to find you or the hell with it?
Oh, well, you know, Facebook. Of course, you can go on Facebook and find everybody.
Yeah.
Mary Catherine, yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. Harper Boys, B-O-I-Z. You can
sounds
Twitter
good.
That or anything.
Very
yeah.
unique name, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Well, awesome. I like girls with first names that are last names. You know, it's pretty cool.
Gives you character growing up because you have to put up with a lot of being
yeah.
made fun of.
Really?
So, you know, yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah. Everybody's
but now
needed.
That you grew
weird
up,
named
it's
kids,
cool,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, now it's cool.
It's unique and stuff, yeah.
Now you can be like... Screw you, I'm a model.
Yeah. You're not done yet. Why did you push the microphone away?
I think I'm starting my period.
Okay.
Right now.
All right, everybody. She's starting her period.
Now we're done.
We're ending the show. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.